This morning, I just want you to know, I believe that I have a word for you this morning, that the Lord spoke this word to me to share with you this day. He's not through with you. Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." He is still working in our lives. He's not through with us. I think some people think, well, you know, when I got born again, that's it. Oh, no, God has so much that he wants to do in your life. You know, sometimes when people have some kind of an experience with the Lord, or they got baptized, or maybe they got filled with the Spirit, or they rededicated their life. You know, there's some significant event that happened in their life. You just need to know that that's not the end of it. He's not through yet. Amen. He's still working on you. You know, you have this victory or a breakthrough in your life, and oh, that's wonderful, you know. But what happens to a lot of people is they get a little disillusioned because after, you know, there's some real encounter with the Lord, the next day they still have problems, they still have issues, everything's not fixed. They're not perfect. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is he's not through with us. We need to know that. He's not finished. Philippians 1:16 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When is he going to be done? The day of Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus returns, he's finally going to be finished with us. Until then, church, we need to know he's not through. Aren't you glad he's not through? That he's not finished? Amen. As most of us know, we got a long ways to go, right? I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but you just got to know that he still wants to do a work in your life. He is still changing you. He's, you know, he hasn't stopped. Sometimes I think people get to a place where they don't really change much. We just need to remember, if we're not changing, we're not growing. We got to allow God to continue to change us and work in our heart so that we can become who and what he wants us to be. And well, actually, it's many times in the scripture where the Lord gives us this analogy of him being the potter and we are the clay. One of those is Isaiah 64:8. It says, "O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are our potter." He's molding us, he's shaping us, he's working on us. And we have to be pliable in his hands. We can't resist him or resist the Holy Spirit. We got to allow God to mold and to shape us. But he is the potter and we're the clay, you know. And the scripture tells us that sometimes we want to say, "Why did you make me like this?" Anybody ever want to say that? "Why did you make me like this?" But God knows what he's doing, and if we will allow him, he will continue to work in our lives and mold and shape us. He has a goal in mind, and that is Romans 8:29 tells us that he wants to conform us into the image of his son. Amen. That we're born again, we're just getting started on being who he wants us to be. He works in us through the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict of sin. Have you had the Holy Spirit convict you? Amen. I mean, if you're born again, you have, because something told you that you needed forgiveness, that you needed to change your life. But here's the thing, when we're walking with the Lord, he still convicts us. He shows us things in our life that need to go. And he shows us things in our life. It's not just about don't do this and don't do that. No, he convicts us about things that we need to do. To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we all know there are things that God wants us to do, and it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. He also uses the word of God in Ephesians 5:26. It says that by the washing of the water, by the word, he's cleaning us up. And you see, this is why it's so important that we read the Bible, that we hear the word of God being taught, because it washes us, it cleanses us. I believe every time you come to church and you hear the word, there ought to be something in your life that changes. This isn't just a religious exercise, but God is working in our lives because he's not through with us. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We know that's how we're saved. It is only by God's grace. All we did was believe. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He created us for a reason. He created us for good works. You see, he's not through working in us, working on us, but he works on us so he can work through us. And we need to realize how important this is this morning, that yes, we are saved by grace. We're his workmanship, but he's doing something in and through our lives. And when you talk about his workmanship, I want you to understand that this is the same kind of word that you would use if you talked about a painter painting a masterpiece. You see, we are something that God is working on. And he knows what he's doing. You ever watch somebody paint where they start off, it just kind of looks like a mess? Anybody look like a mess? But he's not done. No, we're his workmanship, and he's still working on us. But I want you to remember this, that he wants to use us. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, he designed us as his workmanship, and he prepared things in advance that we are supposed to do. He wants to use every single one of us. This wasn't written for preachers. This was written for the body of Christ, that we understand, every single one of us, there are things that God prepared in advance for you to do. He created you to do those very things, designed you to do those very things. Sometimes, some people may have some special gifts or talents, abilities, or maybe it's a passion that God has given you, but each and every one of us, you see, we're his workmanship. And here's what I want to say to you about that. When it comes to good works and what he wants to do through us, he's not through. He's not through with you. Every person in this room, God wants to work through you. He's not through with you. And no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you may have done or haven't done, he's not through with you. Philippians 3:12-14, the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I haven't apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't accomplished it all. You see, he knew that God was not through with him. We need to know this. Yes, God is still working on me. I hadn't arrived. I'm not there yet. Hadn't have accomplished everything. And after all of the victories, all of the great miracles that he's seen in his ministry, I mean, Paul saw the dead raised. He saw sick people healed, demons cast out, so many great miracles. But he also saw so many people come to know the Lord. And he saw so many churches established. And yet, this is what he's saying. He's not through with me. There's more. And you need to have that in your heart, that God is not through with you. Because you see, the enemy of your soul, he always wants to deter you, slow you down, keep you from the plan and purpose of God in your life. Anything he can use, he wants to convince you that your days are past or that you can't, when God still wants to use you in a powerful way. You got a course to run. You see, the Apostle Paul, later he said, I've finished my course. Nobody in this room has finished their course. He's not through with us. We've still got more to go. And I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning to keep going. God is not through with you. Sometimes we get knocked down, we get hurt, things happen, and we say, well, this isn't right, and that's not fair. And God's not through with you. We got to keep going. You know, the Apostle Paul says it very clearly. You got to put the past behind and keep going. Keep pressing on towards the mark. He's not through. I think some people think that, well, as you get a little older, it's time to just let these young people do it. You know, I agree with that to a point. I'm going to dig a big hole out here somewhere. We're going to plant something. Time to let these young people do it. I'll tell you how. That's not really true, y'all. I like doing stuff like that. But yeah, there's some things we can say. Let's let the young people do that. You know what? I don't know how to do this stuff, upload all this on the internet and all this. Let's let the young people do it. Okay. But here's the problem, is that a lot of time as we get a little bit older, we start thinking that, we're just kind of done. Our days are past. Nobody gets that from the Bible. He's not through with you. Now, I want to tell you, in the Scripture, the Lord uses teenagers. Don't despise young people. God can use them mightily. There are many in the Scripture that God used. But did you know that he also used a lot of people who were 80 years old or more? How about old Moses? His ministry didn't really start until he was 80. And he's one of the greatest leaders of the Bible. Don't let the enemy tell you your days are past. You might not be able to do the same things that you could do when you were young, but I want you to know that God has some new things for you to do then. And you need to be realizing, awakening to that God's not done with me. He's not through. Listen, the proof that God isn't done with you is you woke up this morning here. Let me tell you, when God is through with you, here, when you wake up in heaven. I'll give you a little preview. When you wake up in heaven, he's not through with you there either. But he's through with you here when you wake up in heaven. Every morning when you wake up, you need to realize, God's not through with me. He's not through working on me, and he's not through using me. There's more for me to do. There's something for me to do. There's somebody's life that I can touch today. It's going to make a difference in eternity. He's not through with me. You may feel like you've been put out to pasture, forgotten. He hasn't forgotten. He's not through with you. Romans 11, 29 says, "For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable." Every single one of us have certain gifts, and God has a call on everyone's life. We might not be called to full-time ministry, but there's a purpose for each and every one of us. There are things that God wants us to do. I think for some, they wonder if God is just kind of through with them because of their sin or their failure. Many times it's a habitual sin where somebody just feels like God can't use me. I want you to know that our God forgives, that he is merciful, that his grace is greater than our sin. And whatever mistakes that you may have made, by the grace of God, he's not through with you. I want to encourage you to stay with me here for a minute, because I know some of you are going to struggle with what I got to say next. Jimmy Swaggart passed away this week at 90 years of age. And most people know or have some idea, inkling, that it wasn't always great. There was a time 37 years ago when he had a great fall. And he repented and turned to God with his sin and made it right with God. But there were great consequences for his sin that impacted his ministry. But here's the thing. God was not through with him. I know some people were. Some of you right now, you're thinking, no, I'm done with him. I'm done with those people. God wasn't. God forgave him, and he still used him. And it might not have been the same. See, if he hadn't have made those mistakes, you see, there were consequences. There are consequences. But God forgives. And let me tell you something. When we are repentant and contrite before the Lord, he's not through with you. And you see, that's on a grand scale, somebody who was well known. But the truth is that every single one of us needs to know this. That when you blow it and you've made mistakes, yeah, sometimes there's consequences. But God forgives you. He is a God who is ready to forgive. And he's not through with you. He still has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, I think it's important for some of you just to help you now. If you were judgmental, you're going to have to repent now, because I'm going to show you. It doesn't take very long. If you've ever read the Bible or you know much about the Bible, you've heard of a great man named David, that the Lord said there would never be a time when his descendants didn't sit upon the throne, and the Lord Jesus is in the lineage of David. David, this great man that God used so mightily, and he wrote so many of the beautiful Psalms in the scripture, he had a terrible fall. Oh, it was awful what he did. But he repented. He turned to the Lord in confession and repentance. He wrote Psalm 51 as that part of that prayer of confession and repentance. And I just want to read to you verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Lord, you will not turn away." You just need to know that, yes, when you blow it, when you mess up, yes, get right. Confess it to God, but he is not through with you. You need to know this. Whatever mistakes there might be, no matter how terrible, No matter how many times you failed, it's not all about what you did. Sometimes it's about what we didn't do. Lord, I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to spend an hour in prayer. Lord, I'm going to do this. Lord, I'm going to do that. He's not through with you. He has not cast you aside. He's still working on you, and he still wants to work through you. I want to share a story with you this morning from the scripture, I think, that speaks to all of us in some way. It's a story of a sincere vow that's followed by a great failure. It's a story of intended bravery and extreme cowardice. It's a story of great potential and absolute defeat. It begins with what we call the Last Supper. The Last Supper. You know, that's the one, the famous painting where they all sat on one side of the table, posed for the picture. That's not exactly the way it happened. But that Last Supper, you know, it's this event is recorded in all four Gospels. And so, you know, Jesus and the 12 disciples are sitting there, and, you know, they had to be thinking, man, this is so great. Here we are with the Lord Jesus. It can't get any better than this. And then Jesus drops this bomb on them. He tells them how that one of the 12 is going to betray him. And he says that the rest of you will all fall away. Peter. He says, maybe everybody else, but not me. I will never forsake you. Oh. And this is when Jesus tells him. You see, it ended up being worse for Peter. He tells him, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. Wow. And Peter says, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. I believe Peter was absolutely sincere. Later that night, when Jesus is arrested, Peter's outside where they're interrogating and torturing Jesus, but doubt and fear has taken hold, and he's standing there by this fire, and three different times he's accused of being one of Jesus' disciples. Twice he denied it, and the third time he actually cursed and said he never knew the man. Wow. He wept bitterly, and he went out a broken and defeated man. All of his dreams were over. He's no longer a fisher of men. It's all over. He let his best friend down. He failed the Lord. Have you ever felt like you failed the Lord, or you let the Lord down? Ever made a vow, a commitment to God that you didn't keep? Maybe you were once close to God, faithfully serving him, but something happened and you got away from the Lord. Maybe there's an addiction, drugs, alcohol, pornography. Maybe sexual immorality left you with guilt and shame. Maybe there was some heartache, some tragedy that just destroyed your faith. Maybe whatever it is, you just felt like you messed up. And how could the Lord still use me? Here's what I know. God's grace is bigger than your sin. And I see in the scripture time and time again that when people turn to the Lord in sincere repentance, that God forgives, and he still uses those people. He's not through with you. Now, after the resurrection, the Lord made sure that Peter knew he was not through with him. When those women first came to the tomb after the resurrection and there was an angel sitting there, he told them, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." He makes it a point. You see, the Lord made it a point. Tell the disciples and Peter. He's one of the disciples, but he singled him out because he wanted him to know that even though he had denied him three times, he's not through with him. He still has a plan and a purpose for his life. Now we're going to pick our story up in John 21, starting from verse 1. And I'm going to read quite a few scriptures here this morning, but I just think it's such a wonderful and powerful story. I think it'll help us. We need to get the whole picture here. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So here it is. Even after the resurrection, and they've seen the Lord, they know that he's risen now. What are we going to do? Hey, let's go fishing. He's going right back to his old life, not being a fisher of men, not being the leader that God wants him to be, but instead, he's getting together a group of guys. Hey, let's just all go fishing. Let's read on verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." Fished all night and caught nothing. I mean, some of these guys were professional fishermen. And just like earlier in their story with Jesus, they didn't catch anything. Struggling, getting nowhere. Did you know that the Lord sometimes allows us to struggle? I didn't say he's the one that made it that way, but I'm telling you, whether he makes it that way or he allows it, sometimes we struggle. Nothing's working. Nothing's falling into place. Everything's hard. We're not getting anywhere. Sometimes he allows this in our life to get us to the place where our hearts are ready to turn to him. Y'all real quiet right now. But it's the truth, because a lot of the time, you see, we'll just kind of go on our way as long as we can work it. Jesus, well, he knows where the fish are, doesn't he? Anybody ever get frustrated because the Lord doesn't tell you where the fish are? Great message last week. When your prayers aren't answered, if you weren't here, all you need to listen to that message that Pastor Jonathan shared. But he knows where the fish are. But with Jesus, did you know it's never about the fish? I'm talking about our lives and all the things that we think are important. With Jesus, it's always about people. Of course, now they realize it's Jesus. Verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged it into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Peter couldn't wait to get to Jesus. He's so excited. He jumps in and he swims to shore. They have breakfast with Jesus. And we're going to pick the story back up in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Why is Jesus saying this to him again and again? And he says, "Feed my sheep." At the Last Supper, Peter had boasted about his great love for Jesus, how he would die with him. There's no way. And yet, just a few hours later, Peter was denying him and saying that he didn't even know him. Now, he's sitting at a different fire where they had their breakfast, and Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And three times, when Peter responds, "You know that I love you," three times he tells him, "Take care of my sheep." Each time he professes his love, Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." But here's what's happening. Just as he denied him three times, now, you see, he is renewing his love relationship with Jesus. Jesus is using this to restore that relationship between him and Peter. He's bringing him back in close to a place of restoration and wholeness with the Lord. And he's also restoring him as a servant of the Lord as he keeps telling him, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep." And I just want to say to you this morning, our love for Jesus, yes, he loves you. He forgives. He restores. But our love for Jesus has to be more than talk. It's something that we live out. We allow him to work through us, to use us. That's what was happening with Peter. And then Jesus calls Peter back to a total commitment to him. You know, there was a time earlier when Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, we have left all to follow you." And they had. But after his great fall, Peter's just gone back, just being a regular guy. And Jesus is calling him back to a total commitment to give his all. John 21, verse 18 and 19, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." A few weeks later, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached boldly, declaring the Lord Jesus. And thousands were saved. And Peter became this pillar in the church that God used mightily. He was so anointed by the Holy Spirit that there were times that people would line the side of the street so that when Peter walked by, his shadow might fall on them and they would be healed. This was the man who was so broken and defeated because he had denied the Lord. But God was not through with him. And he is not through with you. He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that he's through with you. You see, this story is also a story of love and forgiveness and restoration. It is a story of a calling, a commitment, and a vow fulfilled. Peter had meant it when he said, "I will die for you." But then he failed. But here's the thing. After he was restored and God worked through him for decades, there came a day when he fulfilled that vow. Just as Jesus prophesied and said it would be, there came a day when he glorified God in his death, when he gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he had said that fateful night. And I just want you to know, God is not through with you. He still wants to work in your life. He has good things, great things ahead in your life. That lives be changed. That in some way, you're going to have an impact on eternity. He's not through with you. Whatever it is that the enemy would try to use to tell you otherwise, you need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. He's not through with you. Stand with me. I want prayer partners to come.